I was asking God what to do and what to say today. And I was believing God for something that would be a blessing to someone. And he didn't leave me alone. First, I was asking him, I said, Lord, what's my blessing for this occasion? I needed a word from God. That was in the night. And he didn't leave me without a word. You want me to tell you what he said to me? He said, now listen to me. And I heard it clearly. He said, henceforth, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living waters. Rivers of what? Living. And I believe it. And I received it. And I'm running with it in the name of Jesus. That's why all you need to do. Oh, I feel the fire. Oh, my goodness. Believe me, I do. Oh, you see, when you feel it all over your body, just flowing, all of a sudden, I give God the glory for it. I just give glory. I just felt it. Ooh. See, the word of God, Jesus said, the word I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. See, the moment you begin to take Jesus at his word, things begin to happen in your life automatically. Forget the fact that too many preaching, too many teaching, no result. Let God be true and every man a liar. Out of your spirit, man, life will flow. I feel the fire. You are just starting. In the name of Jesus. I heard it. From glory to glory. In the name of Jesus. Have you observed that the way God would do, the way he did things in the Old Testament, when God's hand is mightily on you and there are hindrances, you don't need to strive. You only need to appear. He says, out of your belly, out of your spirit being, life will flow. Flow. I say, just tell me something. Give me something. He knew I needed to be encouraged. He said, hear me, out of your belly. How do you communicate it? Speak. How do you communicate it? Relate. I feel the fire again. So that's why I will just share briefly. I'm grateful for your prayers. I am very grateful. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10. It reads, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet, not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Praise the Lord. So I was privileged to be invited to a men's conference which is closing today. It started on Friday. And we had a great time. And so the topic they gave me was such that, in fact, it was titled Taking the Next Step, Christ Chapel International. Taking the next step, walking in grace unto Christ-like manhood. Fantastic. So I paraphrased in a way that I could take it. So I was looking for a scripture that would capture that. Then I realized that suddenly, it's my birthday, and I realized there's something everybody does on a day like that. The anniversary of your birth, the anniversary of your marriage, the anniversary of your ministry, the anniversary of your endeavor, your business. What do you do on your anniversary? Reminisce. Yeah? Self-appraiser. Come on, is that true? No, not to do that is to just be a wanderer, God forbid. The quality of any leadership is your ability to always self-appraise so you can improve in certain areas and slow down certain things that are not very relevant to what you are called to do. In other words, you improve your effectiveness. That's what it is. So when I saw that, I looked at it, okay, taking the next step. So how do you take the next step? If you don't know where you are, what step are you taking? And how do you know where you are, except as you remember where you are coming from? So the two of them kind of tally for me. So this morning I'll share in the next 15 minutes, as God gives me grace, what I think or what I've been meditating upon. Can I be frank with you? I really appreciate everything everybody has said is the truth. But you know what it does to a man? It puts pressure on you. Really? Yeah. You feel cool. You feel, yeah, that's me. But it puts pressure on you. What kind of pressure? You cannot perform less. Yeah? There's a demand on your person and office now. in the way and manner that they've experienced it through those people who give testimonies. I remember when Pastor Bimbo passed, my neighbors who were unbelievers, they said, "Ha, you're a great man, you know." I said, "But we fear for you." I said, "What do you mean? That I will commit suicide?" They said, "No. That will your testimony remain?" Unbelievers. So when people begin to say or testify of the hand of the Lord on your life, a smart person will take everything in and have a self-appraiser. But a smarter person will not even wait for what is being said. You will appraise yourself vis-a-vis the term of reference for your office, your life. Because every calling and every office has its own terms of references. Come on, church. There are targets and time. I feel the fire. And that's how you know a smart person from a careless person. I remember many years ago we were in the Married Men's Fellowship and I asked the question. I said, "Really, you know, it's very easy when we get to leadership school and we sit down or leadership talk." I said, "No, you must have a vision. Come on, everybody knows that. The first thing that you must know your purpose in life." "Oh, yeah? You must have a vision, okay? And if you must have a plan." "Come on." "Yeah." So the question then became, "What vision did you have for your marriage before you wedded?" And then everybody looked blank. "What's your target for your marriage and your home? What roadmap are you following? Or you are just a piece of fish that found himself in the water and you are just swimming everywhere?" The truth is, except you put certain structures, as you have learned into place and into practice, you will be as ordinary as every ordinary. I feel the fire. And so that was what I began to do, ladies and gentlemen. And so I was looking for scriptures to base my meditation on. And this scripture came in. 1 Corinthians 15:10. And I looked at what Paul was saying. He said, I am what I am by the grace of God. Praise God. Ladies and gentlemen, if there's anything good in this verse standing before you. And you know, I shared it before with you. How even when I was being interviewed into college, well, secondary school at the time, and we had to play soccer. The ball itself was big, not like the ones we play now, and hard leather. And I ran into trouble. And I was staggering, I was falling. The ball was pushing me. I mean, I was trying to get out of my legs. It was just cut off. It was like the ball and my legs were just kind of getting entangled together. And I was in trouble. I was praying. I said, "God, help me." I was praying. He said, "Help me, help me." I was afraid I was going to hit my mouth on the ground and I probably will lose some teeth. So I was praying. I was scared, actually. And everybody on the field was shouting, "Hey, hey." And they were clapping. They were yelling. They were screaming. But I was in trouble. And finally, I fell. And the ball went off my left foot to another person in my team, a teammate. They thought I deliberately dribbled and passed the ball. And everybody was screaming. And when my time was up and I was asked to sit down, I was replaced. The captain of that school came to pick me up. He said, "Man, we are glad you are coming. You guys, you will play soccer in this school." But I was in trouble. I had a problem. It's my own simple way of explaining grace. Can I ask you a question? What do you have that you have not received? That's Bible. That's Paul. And if you have received it, why are you behaving as though you didn't receive it? Your life? Tell me the formula you are applying to keep yourself alive better than those who have died. Tell me. Your health? Your looks? Your intelligence? Your accomplishments? What is it that you can boast that by my power I got this together? Nothing, please. If you are a man born of a woman, whatever you have, you receive. And if you receive, you can give it out. And so, in line with this scripture and with what I believe is saying, self-evaluation, there is nothing I am today that God has not given me. Not even because I'm qualified for them. Believe me, I'm not humbling myself, please. No. It's my understanding of scriptures. It's where he met me before I came in the night. Because to assume that it's by your power, you are saying that you are better than those who are dead and gone. You dare not. Don't try. Don't even try. And so for a leader, you want to self-appraise. And really, for self-appraisal to be successful, the first thing will be what? Retrospection. You look at where you were, how you got to where you are, which was exactly what Paul was saying here. But you see, one good thing before retrospection is you must appreciate that you have something in the first place. Hello. Come on, praise God. You understand what I'm saying? Because for what are you retrospecting? For what? Over what? And so Paul said in verse 3 of 1 Corinthians 15, he said, for I delivered to you, come on, church, first of all, everybody say first of all. This is Paul. This is Paul. He was speaking here. But I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received. Well, hey, in the first place, if I don't have it, I can't deliver it. So if I don't have the qualities that has affected some people's lives, there will have been no way to impart their lives with it. So you must come to the terms with the fact that God has deposited something in me. And then for that, let me now, in retrospect, know, how did I get it? God, God, God. So Paul talked of receiving there. You know, communion in 1 Corinthians 11, he said, look, let me share with you. He said, but look, I'm only sharing with you what I have received. Sir, ma, if you have not received something, you cannot share it. You can only communicate with what you have. If all you have is pride, you communicate pride. If all you have is compassion, you communicate compassion. It's just the way it is. You can't give what you don't have. And that's where appraisal is necessary. You know, sometimes you deal with people, and you, of course, you have, I'm talking of me now, and I'm justified. I think I should have done it that way, and I did it the way I should have done it. Then you don't call to me and say, yes, you are right, but you see, what about this other side? Then I look for a way to connect to the person again to address that other side, which will probably be bringing the balance to what I've done. I feel the fire. Because, you see, left to me, my natural person will always take over. And anything you do in flesh, you will mess up. And so that was what Paul was saying. And you know what he said further? He said, you see, I'm talking of the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ, which I have received. And you know what? I am told that I received the fact that he died for me. He was buried. And after 3 days, he resurrected, if you read in the context. And he was first seen of Cephas, and then of this, and then of a number of this, and then of 500 at the same time. He said, then last of all, as one born out of due time, at the set time, he was seen by me. Come on, hello. Who, of course, the least, who am the least of all the apostles. As a matter of fact, I am not qualified to be called an apostle. You know why? That is because of my history. What's your history? What's your pedigree? I persecuted the church. I put the church into jeopardy. I killed, I maimed, I threw them into prison. I shut down places of worship. I was an enemy of this Jesus Christ. But when he appeared to me, something happened to me. So I'm a partaker. I saw him. I saw him too. He revealed himself to me. So ladies and gentlemen, I have something. So as he called Paul, or like he called Peter, like he called John, and like he called James, he called me too. You see, I'm an apostle now because he showed himself to me and he mandated me to go. Come on. He made me an apostle to the Gentiles. So Paul was saying, I have something. But what I'm saying is this, I'm not qualified for what I have, but he made me qualify and decked me with this gifting. So I am what I am by the grace. When the husband knows that by the grace of God, your marriage will be fine. When the wife knows that by the grace of God, your marriage will be different. Hey, come on. When the employer knows that by the grace of God, your attitude will be different. When the employee knows that it's by the grace of God, you'll be faithful. I am what I am. Somebody say, any good quality you see in me, that's God. Any bad one you see, that's me. And that's where God is still working extra on me. Grace. So the first part is that I know what I have. And then the second thing is, oh, now I go on the journey of retrospection. And now, what does that do? That now makes me to acknowledge and appreciate my benefactor. Come on, come talk to me. If I'm not qualified, if I was never qualified, he qualified me and he loaded me. And today I'm being celebrated. I think while I'm celebrating, I should be celebrating him who made me. Hey. And that's where thanksgiving becomes essential. That's why it says in everything give thanks. You just have to be grateful to God. Come on. I hear people talk sometimes when they interview them, even those who are non-Christians, say, I'm only thankful. I'm thankful that this, I'm thankful that this. And I'm wondering, what does it mean I'm thankful? I'm thankful, I'm thankful. He's saying I'm thankful to society, I'm thankful to people, I'm thankful for opportunity, I'm thankful for education, I'm thankful for this. Oh, I appreciate that. But all these things too came from somewhere. We are thankful to God, the maker of all things. Now, that's my third point. So on a day like this, that's why we get excited. That's why we are always so into praising God and praising God and praising God. And I realized that, see, God has looked, he made the system. He knows how best to make it work. And so I tagged this one now. You know, I'm almost finished. I'm giving you the title. You say, what's the title? You can always take the next step. Oh, yeah. You can always take the next step in life. In the kingdom of God, you can never hear me. Read my lips, please. Let me stand here. In the kingdom of God, as a child of God, as a saint, you can never be stranded. In the name of Jesus, you can never be stranded. Not by anything created. In the name of Jesus. You can never be. Even when it looks like it's all lost and gone, hear God. Through the mouth of Paul, this man that I'm talking about, that actually brought the principle out for us to see. He said, all things work together to them that love God, who are called according to his purpose. If you are in the purpose of God, you can never be stagnated in life. He said, Pastor, why are you talking this way? Because that's the secret, and this is the secret. He said, what do you mean by that? One thing I keep, because I'm not preaching the altar, I'm just preaching something there, is that when Paul talked about you receiving, 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 I ask people, and I challenge anybody to come to grow prove it. His whole letters in the epistles, his whole letters, which is about two-thirds of the New Testament, what were the letters about? Telling the folks who they were and what they have. All Paul will tell you, if you read this letter today, that this is who you are in Christ Jesus. This is what you have. That's all he writes about. Making you know you have received something. Come on, walk like you have it. And you see, it's human nature to forget that you have something. So what does it do? Keep you reminded always. For me to write the same thing to you over and over, for me it's not grievous. But for you it is safe, Paul said. And I said, if you think that Paul just woke up one morning and got the idea, well, maybe, but I know he didn't. He studied the Bible. You say, what do you mean? Jesus made it clear in John chapter 15. He said, without me you can do nothing. So what makes you think that you own everything you have? Hello. See, my father has some great qualities, but my father is not here today. He's gone. Man, this is qualities. They are the things you have seen on us. So whatever you have, you will give it to somebody. Don't you know that? So don't you, come on, pipe down. Appreciate God for what you have. Now you want to understand why I said, I labor much more than them. I labor in this grace. The labor of grace that, hey, I didn't work for it. He gave it to me. So walk like he gave it to you. So empower other people. Don't let the grace, this is grace, don't let it be in vain. Don't waste it. And in doing that, don't you know you are sowing seeds into other people's lives? Don't you know every seed you produce is a verse? Can't you see that you are a vital part of the expanding kingdom of God? Can't you see? And so it has led us to Thanksgiving. You know what Thanksgiving does? It creates an atmosphere of the supernatural. It creates an atmosphere for the supernatural. It changes the atmosphere straight. It makes supernatural natural things. You see how? Have you ever seen where people are grateful? You see peace. Have you ever seen where people are grateful? You see progress. Have you ever seen where people are grateful? You see prosperity. Have you ever seen where people are disgruntled? Never satisfied. You can't. Unsatisfiable people. You see trouble. You see rancor. You see war. You see killings. A gratitude attitude will always open you up to heaven's treasury. Two quick examples in the Bible. Lazarus' grave. That was terminal, wasn't it? 4 days, the body was rotting off in the cave. I mean, there was a huge stench coming out. When he got there, he said, roll away the stone. They said, by now it's smelling. I said, roll away the stone. So the moment they rolled away, between you and I, guess what he did? He lifted up his face to heaven and said, Father, I thank you. Because you always hear me. This is not for my sake, because I know you always, but for their sake, that they may know that you sent me. What did he do? He thanked God. Can't you see? You are too quick to look at what is wrong and complain and whine and murmur and and you look for more people to join you in your murmuring and in your hair. They are bad. He is good. Oh no, he's bad. They are horrible. They are hair. Why don't you just say somebody is good? Once. And see the effect on your own system. My wife is the most horrible. I'm waiting for the day you're going to say, my wife did something good. I'm waiting for the day you're going to say, I thank God for my husband. Don't you know that opens the door for the supernatural? By the time he thanked God, he said, Lazarus, come! Because he was bound all around. No matter the effect of the devil and the hold of man on your life, you are unstoppable. In the name of Jesus, you are unstoppable. Don't you know, the first mark of a believer, in my name they will do what? Come on, talk to me. In my name they will do what? do you think he put demon first? Because the thief comes not first, but for what? To kill, to steal, to destroy. So I don't care how much you have been bound. I don't care what has been holding you. I say, after a message like this in the name of Jesus, you don't need to fight any battle. God has fought the battle through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is finished as far as you are concerned. So what's going to happen? All the demons that are saying you won't get there, we will kill him. We will kill her. We will kill them. We will spoil them. In the name of Jesus. I know what I have. That's all Paul used the rest of his life to do, telling you who you are, what you already have in Christ Jesus. Paul didn't talk to those who didn't have or those who didn't know they have. You must know what to have. You see what I mean? Anybody can preach and say it doesn't work. That's their business. But I know that it's working. I say your song shall be praised and worshiped. I say your song shall be thanksgiving in the name of Jesus. I say in the name of Jesus, give me the little boy's meal that you have. Is that all you have? In the book of John, say, Father, I thank you. And he gave them the little boy's meal. He keeps on multiplying. Whatever you thank God for, we multiply. I speak multiplication into your lives in the name of Jesus. I speak increase in the name of Jesus. I speak revelation. I speak power in the name of Jesus. I speak healing in the name of Jesus.